Let's get this party started.
Welcome to Tinsel Tunes. I'm Christmas music fanatic Scott Newman. Joining me, as he always does, is my better half here, co-host Dwayne Bailey. How's it going, Dwayne?
It is going great. A little bit cold where I am, and a little bit sad because of the news about Tony Bennett.
Yeah, that is sad. 96, though, that's a good run.
That's a very good run, the last of the generation, and he was singing right up to the end.
Do you have any favorite Tony Bennett Christmas music?
Not a favorite per se, but whenever he came on the playlist, it was just always nice to hear his voice. But to be fair, I didn't really hunt out any of his songs like I do with some of the others. But it was really nice to hear his voice.
I feel like if he did it, I liked it, but I don't have a particular thing in mind.
No, it's not like Andy Williams, where I do have a favorite for him. With Tony Bennett, it was more of a just a general niceness, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah.
We have a special guest for Christmas in July. Why don't we bring him in and find out if he had any Tony Bennett favorites? Todd Killian from Christmas Clatter, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you here always. You're one of the godfathers of Christmas podcasting, I feel like. So wherever you go, you raise the room. How about that?
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. I appreciate it.
Do you have any favorite Tony Bennett Christmas music?
I can't say I do. Maybe Winter Wonderland if I had to pick, but I kind of agree with you guys. He was fine.
He had a duet with Lady Gaga, didn't he?
Yeah.
Those kind of things were always nice.
Yeah, that was always cool. But like, I didn't hit next song when he came on, but I didn't ever have Tony Bennett pop up in my search browsing history either. So
yeah, there you go. 96, though. If I lived in 96, I'll feel lucky. Well, maybe I won't. I don't know. I don't know what those last ones are like, but Godspeed, Tony Bennett.
Yeah, with the way my body is in the 50s, I don't want to live to be the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. What have you been up to, Todd?
Well, of course, I took my break, and I'm getting ready to launch a new season of Christmas Clatter coming up on the 28th of July, which is a Friday. We do live episodes now on YouTube, and normally they're on Wednesdays, but this is a special Friday episode because Dwayne's going to be joining me, and we have to make an allotment for the time change. So,
well, that's nice. My invite must have gotten lost somewhere in the email. I understand. No problem.
Yeah, I'd have you on, Scott, but I was just kind of wanting to get together with Dwayne for a little bit.
That's how I feel every month, so no, I'm not going to throw any stones, and I'm busy Friday anyway, so there you go.
And speaking of guests, Todd, you are our first official guest on Tinsel Tunes.
Oh.
That is true.
Yeah, our first official, so welcome.
56 episodes in, we haven't had any guests. Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow, I feel really honored now. I better bring it.
Yeah, we figured we'd work the kinks out with you, and then if it goes well, we'll get some good ones, don't worry.
There you go. I might know some people that would be a lot better at this than me.
I doubt that. Dwayne, do you have any mail you want to read?
I do. I have two. So we had a very long email from David Hatfield that starts off like this. Dwayne and Scott, I have recently been delving into the wonderful world of Christmas podcasts. I started out with Brian Earle's Christmas Past, like we all did.
That's a good place to start, yeah.
Yes.
And I've made my way to Christmas Morning,
oh, hey.
Seasons Eatings, and of course, CC's Tinsel Tunes. Thank you for all the wonderful work that you do. Being a history and Christmas lover, I play a Victorian Centre at a living history site, and I did go and check it out online. It looks absolutely awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
I find all the backstories fascinating. Now, this is interesting. Absolutely no offense to you, Scott.
I'm used to sentences that start with things like that. It's all right.
But I could listen to Dwayne read a catalog. Thanks to you. I love that part. So I tried to find a catalog, and I was going to give it a read. But in this day and age, we just don't get them through our post.
You know what? The joke still stands, though. It's all right.
It does, yeah. I did find a brochure on animal allergies, and I was going to read that, and I thought, no.
You know, Todd carries catalogs for a living.
Yeah.
Todd, is your bag getting lighter and lighter as the years go on?
As far as catalogs, yes, but they are being taken up with parcels.
Yeah.
I do have a 1991 Sears catalog over here. I could hold it up to the camera, Dwayne, if you want.
Where did you get that, Todd?
I got it as a Christmas gift.
Okay, it wasn't just left in your bag and said, well, all right.
No.
Yeah, I got a 1987 JCPenney catalog from eBay. Mm-hmm. I don't know, for like $10. It was nothing ridiculous. Mm-hmm. My threshold for spending money on that would be low, but I love it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I actually remember that specific catalog as a kid, but it was right in the time that I would have been looking at those things. Yeah. And it's pretty fun to go back and look at the clothes and look at all the things that were for sale. There's a big old Nintendo section in there. I loved it.
So I'll carry on because it's quite a long email.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody grim up.
So he goes, thanks to you, I've discovered a whole new world of Christmas music, and now I seek out versions of old classics, which I never really did before. The last episode about Sing It Live was a revelation. My favorite version on that episode was Feliz Navidad. That version, although I do enjoy the original, was absolutely amazing and will definitely be part of my regular rotation this holiday season. And Scott, I only discovered Mary Did You Know this past year. Not sure how I didn't run into it before. Originally, I wasn't impressed with the song on my first listen, but now it's one of my favorites. Although I appreciate that you like the Sing It Live version the best, I love the CeeLo Green version.
That is a very good version. It is. That CeeLo Green album is really, I don't know, maybe a sleeper. It's not something I would have found, but I tripped into it somehow, and I'm so, so happy I did. I don't have the name of the album in front of me, but I know it's like him riding in a car in space or something like that, and it's fantastic.
He goes, but I did enjoy the version on the podcast. Also, my second favorite version of that song is Straight No Chaser's version. I know you like Straight No Chaser, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm biased in that regard since I listened to it live at their Columbus, Ohio concert this year.
Yeah, I've been to two concerts of theirs. Fantastic. Really, really great. And I even have a Straight No Chaser version of the song that we're going to talk about today at the end of the episode.
We do.
That wasn't on purpose. It wasn't pandering to David, but it doesn't hurt.
No. And he finishes off by saying, Dwayne and Scott, thank you again for all you do. I will be a regular listener from here on out, and I appreciate you both.
No, thank you, David. I appreciate that.
And we, of course, appreciate you, David, for sure.
That's nice.
Yep. And from Facebook, we have the friend of all the Christmas podcasts, Lenora Gilbert, and she wrote great new Christmas music, definitely adding some of these to my playlist. So that's great to hear.
I'm assuming she was talking about the Sing It Live.
Yes, she was. Yeah, it was a comment on that post. So glad to hear, and we were glad to share that.
Lenora is great. She is a heavy participant for Christmas morning. Really, really appreciate all she does.
Yeah, Lenora is awesome. She's always around when I'm doing Christmas Glider.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Todd, on Christmas morning, I do this Christmas party episode each month, and we have listener submissions that come in. I didn't get to use it this month because I just did a live episode with Bran at Bramblefest, and I have never done anything live before.
Mm-hmm.
That was different. Won't be doing that again anytime soon. It was fine. I never feel nervous here. I felt nervous in front of people, and I think it's because right at the last minute, Brand said, hey, there's no takesies, backsies, so make sure you don't, you know, trip up. And I'm like, well, thank you. I really appreciate you screwing me up at the last second with some advice like that. It was a lot of fun. I'm definitely looking forward to getting back into my basement in the curated environment of these four walls. I like that. I like that a lot more, but I had a great time.
Oh, yeah. I need to get out there for that.
Yeah, it would be great to see you. But then you'd show up me, so I don't want that. So why don't you just stay in your pretty basement there? It looks really nice. Are you gentlemen familiar with the song Jingle Bell Rock? I'm assuming the answer has to be yes.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I've heard that song a time or two.
you might have heard it once or twice before.
Yeah.
Let me play the original version by Bobby Helms. It's the song that we're going to talk about today, and I can't speak for you, Todd, but I've done enough podcasts with you now that you probably feel pretty similar to the way I do, that when you hear that little opening riff, man, that puts me right in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
Bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing.
That's probably about all we can play before the estate of Bobby Helms is knocking at my door demanding we cease and desist. What a great version. I don't think it's Christmas until I hear that. Dwayne, I'm parroting something you said last month, but there are a handful of songs that just, they start the season for me.
Yeah.
And this is definitely one of them. I love that opening riff.
Yep.
Dwayne, you're the drummer. Todd, you're the bassist. On guitar, when you play two notes like that at the same time, it's usually called a double stop. And there's just something about this that just does it for me. There are plenty of versions that don't do that, and I'm sure we'll hear some of them today. I don't know. I need that. What do you guys think?
Well, I have a story about that opening.
Great.
That used to be the ringtone on my cell phone.
Oh, that's cool.
And I used to be work as a supervisor for the post office before I decided to go back to carrying. And it was the holiday season. I can't pinpoint if it was November, December, don't matter. And I was talking to a carrier and my phone rang and it played that opening lick. And then before he could even sing, I answered the phone and went on and stuff and went back to the desk. And that carrier I was talking to came, followed me to the desk. And he goes, man, I appreciate that. I go, what? He goes, dude, I've been having such a tough week, but something about that song.
Yeah.
When it played, he's like, it just got me back in the Christmas spirit, you know, kind of brightened the day. And I was like, every time I hear it, I smile and love it. I hate to call anything perfect, but that's pretty close to perfection right there as far as the song intro goes for a Christmas song.
It's a great story.
I think that's a fair thing to say. Dwayne, I'm guessing you have similar feelings.
I do. There's a handful of songs that as soon as you hear the first bar of music, or not even that, sometimes it's just the first beat. Yeah. You know, the Christmas song is another classic example. As soon as that starts playing, it gets you in the mood. You know what song it is. Mm-hmm. You know what season it is. Yep. And this is exactly the same.
Yeah, we just did that with It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, that opening swell.
Yep.
Same thing. I love it. And it teleports me. I don't know. It takes me out of whatever I'm doing and brings me to some happy place where these songs bring me. And I love it.
Yeah, one thing about this song, last season on Christmas Clatter, I did a top 10 Christmas songs just based on the numbers, not based on what I like, what people like.
Yeah, that's real subjective.
Yeah. Huh? It was based on streams.
Oh.
Money made, radio plays, number of covers done. I forgot. I had spreadsheets out my ears on this stuff.
Calm down, John Nash over there. I don't know how you put all that together, but all right.
Yeah, but Jingle Bell Rock ended up like number 4 on the list.
I guess that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It's just something I want to hear.
Yeah.
Todd, you'll be familiar with this. Dwayne, you might not be. On our cable provider, they give us music stations, and it's this provider called Music Choice. And that's one of the yardsticks I use to decide if I hear a song a lot or not, because I don't listen to terrestrial radio where I'm tuning in like 95.5 The MASH or whatever it is. Mm. So I put that on at Christmas time, and this is a song that will play over and over and over. If you don't hear it twice an hour, something weird is going on.
Yeah. Well, that's one that I haven't gotten tired of.
That's true.
You guys talked about Mary Did You Know a while ago. That's a song that if I never heard it again, I'd be fine.
Yeah. You'd be all right with that? Yeah. It's just a very joyful song. It's not any kind of carol. It's not religious in nature. It's just about the joy of the season. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't fail to make me smile. Do you have any history for us, Dwayne, about this song?
I do. So the song was recorded in 1957. So when country singer Bobby Helms, as we know is the original singer, was offered the chance to sing a new holiday song, he was skeptical about the idea of mixing rock and roll and Christmas music. But he was won over, and the song, released by Decca Records, soon became a holiday classic. So it's interesting how a few of these artists start off that way. They go, oh, that's not me, or this is not going to work. But when they get sort of coaxed into doing it and they release it, it becomes such a huge standard.
Yeah, especially these songs in the 40s and the 50s, that golden age of Christmas music. You know, these people weren't writing the songs themselves, and that's no shade on them. That's just not how it worked back then, usually. They were usually given a song, and you know, they might have tweaked it and made it their own a bit. But by and large, you had someone else write it and then someone else perform it.
Exactly. So when he recorded the song, of course, Bobby Helms was already a popular singer, but he had appeared on The Bandstand and The Ed Sullivan Show, both of which I've never seen, obviously. Down here, we just didn't get that sort of show broadcast to us, but I've heard of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they don't hold up. What I'd say
is
we don't have a lot like that anymore, but I don't dismiss how important that was at the time. It's not like there were a whole lot of choices for media and music and entertainment. You know, you had the radio, and TV was a relatively new thing, and it was the tastemaker. Todd, would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I just watched that documentary on Wham that's on Netflix, and that's basically how they were able to launch out from the UK and stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was on some TV station that was like you know, Dick Clark, American Bandstand.
Exactly. So the song was produced by Paul Cohen and features a rockabilly style beat, which we've, well, actually, we didn't speak about that.
No, but we heard it.
Yeah, it was quite the rockabilly beat.
Another very common 50s thing.
Exactly.
Just that was what was happening at the time. We just had an episode on the music of Johnny Marks, and Gene Autry was the singing cowboy. He was doing those songs. So it was the 50s. I don't know who Paul Cohen is, though. It's written like that's important or a piece of information that people would be familiar with. I'm not, but okay. Yay, Paul.
Yeah, I didn't go down the rabbit hole of what else he'd done, but I assume he's done bigger stuff to be called in on a project.
Oh, the Paul Cohen.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Paul, yes, yes. Now, I'm pretty sure it features an upright bass as well. It sounds like an upright bass. Obviously, electric guitar and the backing vocals were sung by the Anita Kerr Quartet.
I have never heard of the Anita Kerr Quartet.
Yeah, I did go down the rabbit hole for that because I thought that sounds important.
Okay.
And so the quartet was a very popular group of backup vocalists in the 50s and the 60s in the country music genre and appeared on countless recordings by popular Nashville artists.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, and they released a lot of cover songs from other genres as well. So they were actually quite huge. And Anita Kerr was the leader.
I think the story starts to get more interesting when we start peeling into who wrote it, because it has different people credited with it. And it depends on the source and really what you believe, because we're not going to have a definitive answer on it. I did see that the song was inspired by that classic Jingle Bells and popular 50s songs of the time, like Rock Around the Clock. And it's noted in most places, I would say, that songwriters Joe Beal and Jim Booth, they were two guys who worked in the public relations industry and advertising, they're said to have written the song, but Bobby Helms disagrees with that. He says that he and his session guitarist Hank Sugarfoot Garland, Hank was the one that played guitar on Brenda Lee's Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, so a sound that we are very familiar with.
Yeah, very similar song.
Helms said they were the ones that wrote the song. He claims that Beal and Booth wrote a song called Jingle Bell Hop for Decca Records, and that Decca gave it to Helms to record, and Helms said he wrote the lines, "What a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away, the bridge." Two funny quotes for this. In a 1992 interview, Helms said, "I really didn't want to cut this song because it was such a bad song. So me and one of the musicians," he's speaking of Hank Garland, "worked on it for about an hour, putting a melody and a bridge to it." And then in a 2001 interview, that guitarist Hank Garland said, "I let it hop back to where it came from. It wasn't any good. Bobby and I came up with the Jingle Bell Rock America Hears every holiday season." So who wrote it? We're never going to know.
Exactly.
And I think the only thing we can do is just credit all four of them.
Yeah.
They were all involved in some way, shape, or form. If I had to venture a guess, I don't know, the Helms and Garland thing sounds like a little bit of bravado, but I don't know. That's just my personal take on it. Do you guys have a thought?
I don't know Jingle Bell Hop.
Yeah.
But apparently there was a good enough seed in that song to get Helms and Garland on the track that they got on.
Yeah.
So I'm like you. It's probably all four are correct.
Yeah.
Just their perspective is swayed one way or the other.
I think the people that open the mailbox expecting the checks are the one that really care the most. I don't have skin in this game in any way, so I'm going to be happy crediting all four of them with various parts of it.
I would like to know when Bobby and Garland start telling this story that they wrote it. Was it like right away, or was it when it became a popular hit? You know,
that's what gives me that little seed of skepticism in my mind, that they really wanted to capitalize on the popularity of it. Regardless of that, I don't know, they sang and played a really, really good song, and that's enough for me. I don't really care. Dwayne, do you have any hard, strong feelings on this?
Yeah, well, the song wasn't a sleeper when it came out, so it was popular pretty much
right away.
Yeah, it came out in the end of 57.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it was a hit straight away. So whether they claimed fame at the start or partway through, I don't think it matters in this case. But either way, I think it credited all four because, as Todd said, there was a seed there. So somebody had to plant that seed.
What's the liner notes say?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How did the song perform, Dwayne?
So the Helms version originally charted at number 13 on the Billboard's Most Played Country and Western, which is a predecessor to the Hot Country Songs charts.
Okay, so before the Hot Country Songs chart, they had the Country and Western by Jockeys and Western chart.
By Jockey
charts. I don't know, Jockeys has this underwear thing, and it's throwing me. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. So we're going to call it the Hot Country Songs chart.
Yep. It also crossed to the Pops charts, peaking at number 6 on the Billboard bestsellers in stores chart and number 11 on the Cashbox magazine's top 60 on the week ending January 11th, 1958.
Todd, I'm getting the feeling that there are a lot of Billboard charts that I'm not aware of here. It's not just one.
No.
This is the best sellers in stores chart. And I would be shocked if there isn't a best songs played in elevators on Tuesday's chart.
Yeah. It's one of those. It's like I've hit number 6 on the charts on songs played between 2 and 3 a.m. on Tuesdays. And, you know,
that's my sweet spot between 2 and 3 a.m. In former Eastern Bloc countries. So. Yes.
I reached number 1 in the album with the most red in the cover. Yay.
Exactly.
So the song was also featured on the soundtrack to the album on the 1996 film Jingle All the Way, which I don't know if you guys know much about that film. I've seen it once and then never again.
I've never seen it, but people are going to be really mad about that.
They have to watch it this year.
I like it.
Yeah. You like it? Oh, fair enough.
Thanks for saving us, Todd. Appreciate that.
The original Bobby Helms version returned to the Billboard country singles charts in the late 1996 and early 1997, reaching a peak of number 60.
So I'm guessing that the performance of the film had something to do with him coming back to the charts in the same year. I mean, it seems obvious, right?
Well, that seems to happen, too. It's happened quite recently where songs have been included in a Christmas film. It hits the charts.
Yep.
And then according to Nielsen, the digital track of Helms' original Decca recording was 9th on the list of all-time best-selling Christmas and holiday digital singles in 2016. With 780,000 downloads. Doesn't seem like much. I would have thought more.
I mean, I guess we had Spotify and Pandora and stuff then, but it's not what it is today. So by today's standards, that doesn't sound like a ton, but
no.
I don't know. I mean, Nielsen's bragging about it, so it probably has something to it.
Yeah, I suppose in 2016, people were still sourcing digital music illegally, perhaps. Yeah,
maybe.
And as of December 2019, it has sold 891,000 copies in the United States. So I'm assuming that's hard copies.
Okay, and that's sold, so that's not streamed or anything. I think we need to answer the age-old question right here, right now. This is probably the most important thing we have ever covered on Tinseltoons, Dwayne.
I think so, yes.
What is a jingle horse?
Well, according to Bobby, it is a decorated reindeer.
Of course.
Problem solved. Of course.
Seems obvious. Giddy up, jingle horse.
Right, let's go and solve the mystery of Bigfoot now. So we're good at this.
During the research, Dwayne, I came across a funny YouTube stand-up comedian bit where he was saying it was a derogatory term for a reindeer.
Okay.
Come on, jingle horse. And that was pretty funny. But okay, it's a decorated reindeer.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Dwayne, obviously we're going to play tons of versions of this song and lots of weird versions and off the beaten track stuff, but it probably makes sense to cover two more that might be considered the original, the OG. Does that sound fair?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the first one here, this is Bobby Helms from 1970. I'm going to withhold my commentary on this until after the clip is done.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing a bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime in jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time. It's the right time to rock.
I think the only thing that song has going for it is the fact that Bobby Helms sung it. And anybody who calls that an OG version, I dismiss that completely. I think that version sucks compared to the original.
Yeah, it lost the magic, and those jingle bells were just so up front in the mix. And
oh,
you know,
I'm so glad you said that. I was I was thinking, man, whoever the person was who got to play the jingle bells on that, that was their moment to shine. They were like, this is it. This is my big day. I am going full tilt on the jingle bells. It was so loud and distracting.
Yeah. You know how I feel about that. So.
That's true. You did mention last month that you really don't like it when it's so up front in the mix and it really needs to be pulled back.
And, did the producer come out and say, I need more jingle bells?
More jingle bells. Exactly. Yeah. It's like a Will Ferrell skit.
I need more Christmas. Yeah. In fact, in the original version, they're just on the cusp of being too loud. When I listen to the song, you know, when it first starts, they're quite loud. They don't lessen in volume, but they don't become as prominent through the song. But on this version, oh my.
Yeah. When you say Jingle Bell Rock, the first thing that comes to mind and what I want to hear is this. It's not this.
Yeah.
That's like a Wish.com version of the song. It's like Old Navy produced this. I don't care for it at all. In fact, I wasn't aware of it before we did the research for this. I don't know that I've heard it. And maybe if I did hear it, I'd say, oh, yeah, I recognize that voice. Of course I do. That's not the version for me, though.
No.
Yeah, I've heard this before because a few years back, our local radio station was playing that version over the other.
Yeah, they got it on a discount. Yeah.
And I guess there was such a revolt.
An outcry.
They actually had to say something about it, you know, and be like, sorry.
Did you have your pitchfork and your torch? Did you go down to the station and complain? Because I don't care for that. And I'm sure there's got to be somebody that it does. Yeah. And I can imagine, you had a record growing up. This is the version that you had on it. It means a ton to you. Okay, fine. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm just comparing it to the original.
I remember hearing that on the radio driving to work, and I thought I liked this song better than that.
You know, was the thought. There's something wrong.
Yeah. That took me a minute to realize, what was different.
Okay, so that one was released on Sertron Records in 1970. It has a very country feel, even more so than the original. Yeah. The original had the rockabilly feel. That one just has full-on country vibes. The other version, I'm not going to have nearly as negative of a reaction to. This is Brenda Lee from 1964.
Shows of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime in jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time. It's the right time to rock the night away.
So if the 1957 Bobby Helms version is the number one in my book, that would be a very, very close second. It would be like a 1.5. I wouldn't even call it a 2. Yep. I like that one. I'm really familiar with it. You hear that one a whole lot. Do you guys like it?
Oh, yeah.
It's a good understudy to the first one. So if Bobby Helms' version was unavailable for something and you had to settle, then this would be a great settle. I like the stabs of the horns through the song. Mm-hmm. I like the way that she sort of sings sort of over or around the tempo a little bit at one point there. And also the intro is not the same, but it still has a little bit of that magic.
Yeah, now that's Brenda Lee from 1964. And I looked it up. She was 20 at the time. So what's her most popular song?
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, probably.
Yeah.
So she was 13 when she recorded that one.
Yeah.
This one, her voice is even more mellow in this one than I'm used to with Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And it really stood out to me when I was making the clips last night and listening to it, how much I really enjoy her voice.
Yeah.
It's not really bright.
So the only Brenda Lee songs I'm familiar with are her Christmas songs. So whenever I hear her voice, it does say it's Christmas.
Yeah.
If I ever branched out to listen to her other stuff, I don't know if I would be just as excited to hear it because her other genres are not genres that I generally listen to, which is, of course, their old school country. But yeah, when I hear her voice, I hear Christmas.
Yeah, I feel like there's a reason I'm not familiar with her other stuff, and it's probably because it would just pass me right by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She recorded this in 1964. It was on the album Merry Christmas from Brenda Lee, and it was released in October of 64.
Yeah.
The song reached number 7 on the Billboard charts. I don't know which Billboard charts, so that might have been songs played near outhouses. I don't know. But it says, Brenda Lee's recording has charted every year on the Billboard Top 100 since 2019. Mm. So that's a resurgence. The estate of Brenda Lee must really enjoy getting that check every November or whenever they get paid. Dwayne, where else has the song been used? We know Jingle All the Way, but it can't be the only place.
No, it isn't. And it's in more places than I thought. So when what gave me the idea to make a list was obviously Jingle All the Way. And I thought, what else has it been in?
And you've done this on previous episodes, you know, films that it's been used in. And I really like your segment with that.
Well, I knew it had been used in Mean Girls, the most popular scene in that movie, probably, where they're all dancing up on the stage. So that was in 2004. It was featured in Glee in 2012, which most songs were.
Included in Glee.
I'd forgotten it had been included in Lethal Weapon in 1987. It was used in the opening.
I don't remember that. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
I've only watched those films back in the 80s, maybe on and off since then, so I didn't actually recall any of it. So I went back and just watched the intro on YouTube, and it was there. So, yeah, it's a Christmas movie, of course.
I could have done that for completeness, but I didn't think of it.
It was featured in The Muppet Family Christmas in 1987, sung by Dr. Teeth.
Yeah, I was going to ask, it's not that the Bobby Helms version was played in most of these. It's that this song has appeared and is a cultural touchstone for all these movies, right?
Yeah. If I remember rightly, it starts off with Kermit and Robin singing, I think it's Jingle Bells, and then it morphs into this song with Dr. Teeth and the orchestra.
We need more Dr. Teeth Christmas music.
Yeah, we do. It was featured in a movie called Cookie in 1989, and that movie starred Peter Falk, Diane West, and Emily Lloyd. I wasn't familiar with that one, but it's
I'm not familiar with that either.
I did look into it. It's a coming-of-age film from 1989.
I know I was alive in 1989. I do not remember the movie.
No. And probably most popular on the list was Home Alone 2, Lost in New York in 1992. And there was a lot more, but I stopped the list there. Otherwise, I could be here for an hour.
Yeah, we absolutely could be. Todd, we have never had a guest on the show before, so we're in uncharted territory here, but we asked you to bring your top 5 versions. Now, we're not going to do top 5 for each of us because we would be here all day. We wanted to showcase you as a guest. You want to run us through your top 5 versions, starting with number 5? We'll end on the highest, okay?
Yeah, number 5 is a Canadian rock/metal band called Thousand Foot Crutch.
All right, I've got a clip. Well, that raises a lot of questions there, Todd, and BetterHelp is not one of our sponsors, but I could probably find you a podcast code somewhere. What's the next one?
Well, to flip a U-turn real quick, number 4, Randy Travis.
I really like that one, Todd. That's a great version.
Yeah. I always love Randy Travis.
Yeah. What's number 3?
Number 3 from one of my favorite all-time Christmas albums, Kenny G.
Yeah. I don't remember Kenny G being so jazzy. I'm going to have to go back and give it a re-listen.
That whole album's like that. It's more big band than Kenny G, in my opinion.
Okay.
You know what that reminds me of?
What's that?
Just Christmas morning, getting ready for the day, having an instrumental on in the background rather than something with lyrics. And it just transported me back to, or forward to, Christmas morning.
That's exactly the kind of song that I can listen to in the middle of summer. I don't typically listen to a lot of stuff, Christmas music at least, with a lot of vocals. It's usually more instrumental. Man, I really liked that. Yeah. What's number two?
Number two, in my opinion, more OG than the 1970 Bobby Helms, Hall & Oates.
I remember this being played in the first Beavis and Butthead Christmas special, and it was kind of like, what the hell is this? You know, it felt like everything that was weird and goofy about the 80s at the time, you know, because in the 90s, we had just had a huge backlash to that. It was like the anti-80s. Now it seems quaint again. It seems fun, and it was fun to hear that version. I don't hear it very often, though.
Yeah, it's picking up steam for sure again, but number one. 1957 Bobby Helms.
Yep. And we've played that one several times. We're just really pushing our luck with the copyright trolls on that one. So we're not going to do it again. But of course, number one is the Bobby Helms version. I think you could have said Brenda Lee, I suppose. And that one also, I would have nodded with you on that one. But good list there, except for that 1,000-foot crutch. That was something. I wasn't expecting that one. I like that it's different, a very different version.
Every time we put metal music on, I think to myself, we have to do a metal episode. Yeah. We have to get, I think, is it Matt Spaulding? If Matt's listening, he's a big metal head.
Yeah, Matt Wheeler as well, always sending in.
Oh, Wheeler. It could be Wheeler, sorry. Yep, because I listen to Matt Spaulding's podcast as well.
The 1,000-foot crutch is one of those bands, like, if you just pop them in random and listen, you're like, what? But if you follow them, you realize they don't take themselves that seriously.
Okay, that's cool.
And they actually have another band. It's all the same members, called FM Static. That's like a pop band. And between the two of them, they do a Heat Miser, Snow Miser duo that is fantastic.
Oh, that's fun. Dwayne, you asked me to bring my favorite version. Well, it turns out I don't have a favorite version. I've never really thought about it before. It would probably be Bobby Helms, I guess.
Yep.
But I brought one that I think is a really cool version, and it's The Ventures, a really popular surf rock guitar band from the 60s, probably.
Yep.
Surf rock can be kind of like chiptune. It's kind of acquired taste, and you know, little goes a really long way, but I like that one. And Dwayne, when I opened up the show notes and saw your favorite version, I chuckled. I laughed out loud at it.
Yeah. Well, just on your version, when I saw your one, I thought, oh yeah, The Ventures, because when I grew up, as I've mentioned, my dad was a guitarist. I grew up with bands like Ventures, Shadows, Dwayne Eddy, who I'm named after. So, but I'd forgotten that they had actually done that Christmas song, or any of the Christmas songs, actually.
Well, I just went looking for covers, and I figured, all right, when I see one I like, I'll know it. And that was one of them. It wasn't like that version stuck in my mind before this. But when I saw the notes with your favorite version, Dwayne, I laughed out loud, and it was no surprise at all.
I know, it's no surprises.
It's Brian Setzer.
Yay!
Jingle bell time, dancing and prancing and jingle bell.
course that's a great version. If you like that, go back to our whole Brian Setzer episode, and you won't be disappointed with that.
No, so I've added that song to my potential drum cover Christmas songs list for the end of the year, so hopefully I'll get around to doing it, because the display will take up a lot of my time, so hopefully I can get around to doing some drum covers.
Yeah, budget your time out, buddy. I want both of those things to happen. We normally play different genre versions or versions by popular artists. We could be here absolutely all night if we were playing versions by popular artists. So I thought we'd just go right into more of the fun and offbeat and different ones, the stuff that you've probably never heard. Although, Dwayne, you did put together a list of artists that have covered this.
Yeah.
Why don't you read through those? Because I'm not familiar with most of these people.
No. So when I started to build the list, I thought, who do we put on the list and who just gets a mention? So for the mentions, I hadn't realized that bands like the Vamps, which I've heard of, but I'd never heard them, but I've heard of the Vamps. Mr. Wives, who I listen to, it's just sort of a lot like poppy rock type stuff. Neil Diamond, 50s teen idol Bobby Riddell, and Chubby Checker both released a version.
I'm familiar with Chubby Checker. Yep. I know that name.
Yep. Chris Isaak, everyone's familiar with
know
Chris.
That one too.
And even the Wiggles. Now, you familiar with the Wiggles?
Okay, I have a 10-year-old, yeah. So the Wiggles I am partially familiar yep. with. It's kind of the butt of a joke to most parents, but it's probably pretty good. I didn't go and listen to it.
It's really quite good. So this is OG Wiggles. So back in the day when...
OG Wiggles are solid.
Yeah, the Australian.
Yeah.
They are solid musicians, yeah.
Go watch John Fogerty with the OG Wiggles. You won't be disappointed.
I've got some versions. Some are silly, some are just really great, and some are just weird. So, Dwayne, I have to thank you for putting together this list. I didn't have to do pretty much any work when I sat down to do this last night. I just got to listen and laugh.
Especially the first one.
Yeah, the first one is a Rubber Chicken version by Mr. Chicken.
Does he squeeze the chickens or does he blow into the chickens?
In the video, the chickens are being squeezed, okay. I believe. Yeah,
he squeezes them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how the real chicken musicians do the squeezing, not the blowing.
Okay.
The next one is a Trap remix. And this one, I kind of roll my eyes when I see Trap remix, but then I was really surprised how good it is. So let's give it a listen. Trap doesn't have to be your thing to recognize the artistry that went into doing that. That was a really good version.
That's pretty good.
I'm not listening to it on Christmas morning or anything,
yeah.
But that's a good version.
And as I mentioned, while I was playing, it'd be a great song to do a light show to, but it's not one I'd want to hear every hour. It will just get to you, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that was enough. The next one, you labeled this as a rock version by Billy Idol. We might discuss that one after, but here goes.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime in jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time. It's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is a swell time to go gliding in a one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle hops, pick up your feet.
That's not your typical Billy Idol kind of song. We're not rocking the cradle on this one.
No.
But it's good.
And I misjudged the title when I said rock version, because it was like, oh, Billy Idol, rock version. And it turns out it's not rocky.
That makes more sense to me. I was wondering if people in New Zealand have a different take on rock music than in the U.S., but it's still a good version. And it's not a cappella, but he is doing a lot with his voice there.
Yeah. The next version, which I've labeled hard rock, could probably just be called rock as well.
It's on the hard side. Yeah. Let's hear it. This is First to 11, a group that we play a lot on this show. The beat is slow, but it really rocks pretty hard. I liked that. It was not what I was prepared for.
Yeah, so they call that halftime. And you can see, because it's halftime, there's a lot of space, so they can do a lot more. In this case, the bass pedal's doing quite a few bit, and the snare is half the tempo, so to speak. And then when the chorus kicks in, it kicks into regular.
Okay. And the guitar has some really great distortion on it. Real good tone. I enjoyed that. The next one is a reggae version by Eddie Lovett. Pretty cool version, and it lends itself to reggae really well.
Yeah, I love a reggae beat.
We're going to hear it in the next one as well, the ska version by a band I love called the Holophonics. And there's our gang vocals. I knew I loved that, and just reinforced it. Yeah. Not a halftime version there. And the song lends itself to a fast beat, Dwayne.
It does. In fact, the halftime version would have been quite good, because the stabs would have been quite predominant, whereas here they weren't quite as loud. So
I liked the energy they brought to it. It's always just fun to listen to ska music. You put this one in, and you did it for me, and
I did.
I had to just smile when you did it, because it was very considerate. This is a chiptune version by Chiptune and 8-Bit Planet. The jingle bells in there were really, really good. I love chiptune music, and the purists would say, you know, you have to use what would have been available to you on a specific chipset, like, you know, whatever it was. I don't remember the 4-digit one that was in the NES, but they make this big deal about chiptune versus chiptune style versus just retro style. I don't know if that was pure chiptune, but I really liked it, and it was surprisingly easy to listen to. A lot of chiptune stuff is so shrill, you can barely get through it, but I liked that.
Yeah, I listened to a few of them to get that one, and that was the one that was pleasing to my ears.
Yeah, that one, I'm glad you found that one. I bet you had to wade through some real stuff to get to it, but I liked it. Thank you for doing that for me.
Yeah.
The next version is one that I found, Dwayne, so this one is probably newer to you. This is a band called Skyway Avenue. Yeah!
Bushels of fun.
Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chiming, jingle bells on. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square.
Loved that. Absolutely loved it.
That's how you cover a song.
Yeah, that's right good there. Stuff right there. I don't know of Skyway Avenue. It's just something I came across doing a search for pop punk, but I like them and I want to know more. And finally, the last version. I feel like we always have to include an a cappella version if we can. This is Straight No Chaser. So we'll call back to David and his email at the beginning.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring, snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air.
Love Straight No Chaser. I also love Pentatonix. I know a lot of people don't. They don't have a pure a cappella version of this. They have a song they call Jingle Bell Pop, and I didn't think it was as good as this one, which is just the song.
Yeah, I came across the Pentatonix one, and I thought, nah, it's not quite list-worthy.
It's fine, but it's not as good as this one. So
yeah, it's not pure enough.
So that was our show today. Todd, Dwayne and I usually go back and forth about what our favorite one was. We didn't prepare you, but you probably have a version in mind. Do you have a favorite today? Besides the Bobby Helms one, you can't do the OG one. That's not how it works.
Yeah. Well, of these ones you just played in this genre mashup, that Skyway Avenue punk version, I really like it. It gave me like feel of the Kinks, and I'm just a big Kinks fan anyway, so I really enjoyed that quite a bit.
That's going to be my favorite as well. Since you just said it, I'll throw mine in real quick, too. I loved that version. Dwayne, how about you?
Same, yep.
Wow.
Yeah, Skyway Avenue version I did quite like, but I'd probably put First to 11 slightly above it just because it's heavy.
Yeah, you like the First to 11. I like most of their stuff. This one didn't do it for me as much, but they are an incredibly talented group.
They certainly are.
So that was our show today. Todd, I can't thank you enough for joining us.
Oh, yeah.
We don't normally do guests, but I think we're going to have to rethink that one, Dwayne. Yeah. I liked this a lot. What a great time. Christmas in July. If we're going to do something different, now is the time to do it. It was really great to have you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you inviting me on. I've been looking forward to this since you asked to hang out with both of you and talk Christmas music.
Yeah, you think you like hanging out with both of us separately? Try it together.
Yeah.
It's two great tastes that taste great together. We're chocolate and peanut butter, buddy.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. But Christmas is just right around the corner.
Yeah. And you've already teased that you're starting your next season of Christmas Clatter, but now is a good opportunity to remind the people of what you're doing and where to find it.
Yeah, Christmas Clatter, all over social media and YouTube. ChristmasClatter.com is the best place to go.
If you're not familiar with Christmas Clatter, you're probably not quite doing it right. So you should definitely listen. It's always on my list.
And I'll tease the Tinseltown audience with this season of Christmas Clatter.
Ooh.
From the opening season of the 28th of July through the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I'll have 13 episodes total. And each week I will release 9 or 10 songs on a playlist called the Essential Christmas Songs Playlist.
Wow.
And both of you guys helped me out in compiling that list, and then I had to narrow it down. My goal was to get to 101. I did not. I couldn't do it. I got to a point I cannot leave off any of these songs. So there ends up going to be 122 unique songs on there and 107 unique artists, because I allowed each song to have two different artists on there. I didn't go any more than that because then it would have been too massive.
Yeah, you asked me to look at this list earlier in the year, and I thought it was going to be easy, and then I sat down and felt flummoxed.
Yeah.
Trying to make sure everything I like was included, so it's a hard, hard job, and I'm glad I'm not doing it.
Right, and you know, I had to define what essential meant. I even thought maybe I'll put on songs that get made fun of at Christmas time.
Yeah, sure. Your grandma got run over by a reindeer's, and you're maybe the essential? Dominic the Donkey. You know? Probably not. I don't think that one's on there, and I don't blame you.
Christmas shoes.
Oh.
Yeah, Christmas shoes was one that had consideration, but did it make the list? You'll have to kind of tune in every week.
Thank goodness.
All right. And then at one time, I was sitting there looking at Silent Night, and I had to choose I had it down to three. I had it down to Bing, Crosby, Frank Sinatra, and the Temptations. And it's like, one's got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one? Yep. Yeah. If you had to put me on the spot, I'd probably say the Temptations version because the other two are just so iconic. Yeah. But that's a small example of what you had to deal with. And your self-imposed rule there that an artist couldn't appear more than twice on the list, that makes things even harder.
I eliminated the artist part.
All right.
I eliminated the artist. The artist could appear as many times as deemed.
All right. Yeah. I'm glad you went that direction with it because that made it even harder. Yeah,
it did. And because what happened is I end up having to, I was leaving off too many that were definitely essential. And so the artist rule went out the window.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think when I looked at the list, you had that rule in place. You look at it and you go, oh, whatever song this is. And you say, well, what about this version? And then you realize, oh, well, it's because he wanted to include that artist two times in another place. It was so, so difficult.
Yeah, I ended up throwing that out.
I had to drink a Gatorade by the time I was done looking at your list. Yeah, I was just exhausted.
Yeah, I started off with these hard and fast rules, and they kind of loosened over time.
Cool.
So like I said, every week it's going to be 9 or 10. That way it works out to even 13 episodes. And what I did was I went to a random name in the hat website, because it's not a ranking. It's not a best to worst. It's just a list.
Yeah.
And I sat there and drew out 122 names and just put them in order, in random order. And that's the order they're going in.
So no favorites. Okay. Not playing favorites, at least.
Mm-hmm. No favorites. Like, so when Dwayne comes on with me, we'll have our chat. We'll talk. I'll present the first 10. He'll be there to look at them. Those go on the playlist, Spotify, Apple Music, and YouTube Music. And then the next episode, I'll add the next part of the list. Until we get to the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and then it will be complete.
You should all definitely go check out Christmas Clatter. I called Todd one of the godfathers of Christmas podcasting for a reason. He's been doing it forever, and he's great at it. You should definitely check it out.
Well, thank you.
Well, speaking of doing podcasts forever, next month is our birthday. It's Tinsel Tunes' birthday.
Mm. What birthday are we celebrating?
Is it this?
This is kind of like when I had to ask Siri how old I was the other day because I couldn't remember.
I think it's 6 years or 5 years.
Six sounds
how
right.
How old is Christmas Clatter? Because it's the same.
I started in May of 2019.
So I was 2018, I think, wasn't I? Because,
yeah.
Yeah.
Woo.
5 years.
Yep. Counting on your fingers, pulling out. You're going to have to take off your sock pretty soon.
So who would have thought?
That's exactly what I think. Who would have thought?
Yeah. I thought I'll do it for a year. It's hard to believe it's been that long.
I don't know. It's just a treat to be here with you both. Todd, thank you for coming on today. Great seeing you both. Glad you're up to really great things. And Dwayne will be back next month. I have no idea what we're going to do. We haven't talked about it.
Oh, yes, you do.
We do? What?
Yeah. Well, remember we got approached by another podcaster to talk about something recipe-based that we haven't contacted him back to see if he wants to do it?
Oh, that was so long ago. I put that out of my mind. Yeah, I'm glad you're on top of these things. So Dwayne will be putting together the next episode, and I will be showing up to help co-host it. But that's about where my involvement will end. I'm glad that we have a plan. I wasn't aware.
We have a bit of a plan. Yeah, it's based on the other person.
Well, if you want to get in touch with us, tinseltunespodcast@gmail.com is the best way to do it, or you can participate in the Tinsel Tunes Facebook group. Dwayne does a great job with that. If you haven't rated and reviewed us on Apple Podcasts, that would be a huge help to us. Helps other people find the show somehow, and all we're trying to do here is spread our love of Christmas music. So if you could do that, that would be great. But until next time, Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.